My dear friends, these days I'm facilitating a program called the Discipleship Training Seminar. We're doing this in partnership with the University of Dayton. The classes are held here in our parish. And about 40 people have signed up for this 10-week seminar. The required reading for this seminar is Dietrich Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship. Now, Bonhoeffer was a prisoner in one of the Nazi camps during the Second World War, and he was finally killed there. But in 1937, he wrote this book called The Cost of Discipleship. In the book, Bonhoeffer differentiates between what he calls cheap grace and costly grace. What is cheap grace? According to Bonhoeffer, it's the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. He says cheap grace is a grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Even grace without Jesus Christ. And he says that for many people, we want all the graces, blessings, promises that God can give to us, but to actually pay the price, to pay the cost, to actually work towards that, becomes very difficult. Cheap grace. Costly grace, on the other hand, he says, confronts us as a gracious call to follow Jesus. And why is it costly? Because it compels a person to submit to Christ unconditionally. He separates between the two. In other words, grace is only worth its meaning if it leads a Christian to follow Christ unconditionally through actions lived out in daily life. Now remember, this man was in a concentration camp. And while in the camp, he tried his best to live out his Christian call. Finally gets martyred. Actions and how we translate our faith into actions, that is the theme of today's readings. In other words, faith in the final analysis comes down to actions. Did you hear the first reading? God says, if there is a man who's a virtuous man, and think about it, he's a virtuous man, not a sinful man, a virtuous man. If he turns away from his virtuous life and does something sinful, God says that his life becomes evaluated not so much by his virtual life thus far, but by his sinful action. It's not fair, isn't it? Would God overlook all of the virtuous life of this man? Would God do that? I think what the readings are really trying to tell us is that actions finally are important. Now, the same man, if he turns away from his sin and repents, then God evaluates his life not by his sin, but by his repentance. It's by what you do that you're judged. The gospel reading, the parable in the gospel reading supports this emphasis on actions. The son who was commended in the parable was the son who, in spite of his initial resistance, did what the father asked him to do. Mere good intentions, superficial adherence to the law, being a yes man, that does not do it for the second son. That is what Bonhoeffer would call cheap grace. Yes, Lord, I will do it, but you actually don't put what you said you would do into actions. Now we must understand this, that this parable is directed towards the chief priests and the elders of the people. That's the context. The chief priests and the elders, they listened to the teaching of John the Baptist, but did nothing about it. On the other hand, tax collectors and sinners were coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. So finally, who actually put into practice what John was preaching? Not the chief priests, not the elders. The tax collectors and sinners. They are the ones who are repenting, turning their lives over to God, and effecting life-changing actions in their lives. These were the sinners who initially did not respond. This is the son who initially did not respond to God's word, but actually put into actions what God was telling them. In Bonhoeffer's terms, they were the ones who lived out costly grace. The older son, the other son, wanted cheap grace. So, my 3 points for us to think about today. First point, actions are the measure of faith. Now, think about life. We do so many things. When I was writing this homily, I was wondering if I could put everything I do in course of 24 hours and see what it would look like. So for example, there are things that I have to do just because I'm a human being. Nourishment and hygiene. Waking and sleeping. Just breathing and living. If you put all these, the time in 24 hours together for these things, 10 hours of my day is gone. And then there are other things I do that I have to do because of my obligations. Family and work, chores and bills, illness and health, driving, how much time does that take on a daily basis? When you put my obligations and my life purely as a human being together, a good 20 hours of it is gone. My question is, not much time remains for faith-related acts, does it? In the midst of life, what about prayer? Have you ever felt that a whole day has gone by and you've been so busy? And at the end of the day, gosh, I did not even pause to pray. Sometimes a day, sometimes weeks, sometimes a month can go by and we haven't taken the time for faith-related acts. Well, let us consider doing good for others for the sake of doing good. When was the last time we dedicated time to doing good for others out of love? So I'm saying for life to be an act of faith, there must be actions of faith. If there aren't actions of faith, then the rest of life is not an act of faith. Good intentions, superficial adherence to religion will not do. That was what the other son wanted to do. That's cheap grace. So I have 3 words for you today. Actions, actions, actions. Costly grace. My second point, kind of actions can make the rest of life an act of faith? So I want us to turn to this beautiful second reading from the letter to the Philippians. Hear what Paul has got to say. He says, Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found in human appearance, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, if you read that carefully, there are five action-related verbs there. Five. What are they? He emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He became human. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. All actions, aren't they? Now, would you agree with me that these five actions summarize the entire life of Christ? He was a human being. He did the things that you and I have to do. Waking, sleeping, family, work, chores, eating, hygiene. He had to do everything that he did. But his life gets defined by those five actions. The question that scripture readings present to us is today, what actions define our life? What is it that we do that makes the rest of our life act of faith? How are we living out costly grace? That's the question. And here's my final point. There are two sons in today's gospel reading. The son who first said yes and then finally went and did not do his father's command, carry out the command. And then you have the son who said no, but then he went and did it. Which one of these do you think we should be? Second one. Anybody else? Now remember, I don't ask questions that are too simple to answer. Initially, we want to be the second one. I'm saying none of these. I don't want to be either of these two sons. I want to say yes to God first and then fulfill God's command. I don't want to be either of the sons. I want to be the third son. Jesus. Paul says in today's second reading, do not do anything out of selfishness or vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interest, but also those of others. Then he says, have you the same attitude that of Christ? Because though he was God, he humbled himself, taking the form of a slave, and finding himself in human form, he became obedient unto death. And Paul says, now become like Christ. Don't become the first son. Don't become the second son. Become the third son. And that is the meaning of discipleship. That is the cost of discipleship. Discipleship means having the same attitude that is of Christ. And that is what in this parish we mean by thinking, talking, and acting like Jesus. And this year, because it is a year of prayerful discipleship, also praying like Jesus. To the extent that we transform our good intentions into actual living out of the gospel, to that extent we become like Christ, to that extent we live out costly grace. I think that's the scriptures today for us. So what's the challenge for us? Here in a few moments is Jesus. We don't want to become like the first son, second son. Here's the Jesus who we want to imitate in our lives. By humbling ourselves, becoming obedient to God, and actually putting into action what God wants us to do. Make our life an act of faith through acts of faith. As we receive Jesus in communion, let's get Christ into our very guts. Not just superficially, just the bread and wine, but the person of Christ. Let him affect us in the depths of our being. Transform us. Transform us into people who can think like Jesus, having the same attitude of that of Jesus. And if you can do that, then Bonhoeffer would say, this is costly grace. The people of God said,